This is the E of Real Estate. My name is René Stevens. I'm your host today. And we are with our guest, Tony Scofield, in the wonderful village of Folkestone in the United Kingdom. Welcome, Tony.
Well, thank you.
Tony Scofield is a Master of Science and has a PhD in Animal Psychology from the University of Nottingham, and worked for many years as a lecturer in the University of London. He has conducted research and published in a number of areas, including physiology, homeopathy, and healing. He developed an interest in dowsing for and rebalancing of land energies, for which he designed the Harmonizer that is now commercially available. Tony was also the chairman of the Council of the Radionic Associations and editor of its journal. So thank you for being willing to give us an interview and share your loads of experience. One of the most striking things that came to my mind preparing this interview is you were and are an academic, a researcher. How does that connect with dowsing? But I think many people will ask that question, so could you elaborate a little bit about that?
Certainly. Well, I got interested in dowsing when a colleague of mine at the university showed me how to douse, essentially. He was a dowser himself. I'm not quite sure how he got into dowsing, but he showed me how to douse with a button on the end of a bit of cotton. And he was also friends with the chairman of the East Kent Dowsers at the time, who coincidentally lived in the village I lived in. And so I got invited along to a meeting at this the chairman's house, which was just along the road from me. And I was impressed with some of the dowsing that went on there. I couldn't believe my eyes at the rate of pendulums swinging around and so on. And so I thought I'd join the dowsers and see where that led me. I was just curious, really. I then tried to douse with no success whatsoever. I could not get the pendulum to move around, you know, asking questions about health and food and so on. But one day we went on a visit to a local church, and it was there that suddenly I started to get reactions from the pendulum when I crossed what turned out to be energy lines within the church. And since that day, that's really what I've been doing, dowsing energy lines of churches, ancient places, then latterly of houses. And I could find, in houses that had problems, people sick for example, I could pick up various energy lines. I'm not sure what they meant at the time, but I could pick these things up. And after a while I thought, well, maybe I can do something about them, perhaps one can change them. And I just started to experiment using various techniques, including radionics, and found that one could change these lines, and that people living in these houses very often improved their health. And essentially, that's what I've been doing ever since. But the whole technique has evolved as the years have gone by. So I just came into dowsing largely by accident, just introduced by a friend in his laboratory one day when we had nothing better to do. And so that's how it all started.
Could you define dowsing for our listeners and radionics? What is the difference, or is there a difference between the two of them?
Well, dowsing is the use of one, generally speaking, it's the use of an instrument, often a pendulum, but you can use whalebone, hazel twigs, bent coat hangers, to amplify very slight muscle movements. Because it's the body that is actually responding to the stimuli. If you ask a question, it's the body that is giving you the answer, not the instrument itself. And if you wire somebody up to an electromyogram, for example, you will often, in the case of a dowsing reaction, find very slight electrical changes. which are associated with muscle movement. So imperceptible often that you can't actually feel them yourself. But by having an instrument like a pendulum, you can amplify these very slight changes and see the results in the movement of the pendulum or the rods or whatever. So dowsing is essentially amplifying the sensitivity of the body to whatever stimulus you happen to be interested in at the time. And that's what dowsing is. Now, radionics is a method of distant healing which uses dowsing in order to determine imbalances, if you like, in the various energy fields within the body. Radionics can be used for all sorts of things, can determine food sensitivities, for example. But it's just basic. It's looking at the body to determine what imbalances there are in the energy fields which are causing the problems which the patient is complaining of. And then you can use the dowsing technique then to determine how to treat that patient, what remedies to give, or what rates to dial up on a radionic instrument. But radionics is essentially a form of distant healing. There are many forms of distant healing, and radionics is one that uses, generally speaking, uses an instrument, a box, the black box with dials on it, or more laterally using electronic displays, in order to correct these energy imbalances. How it does it is another matter. There are lots of ideas about it. But my own view is you're using your conscious intent to actually affect the energy of the patient. And the radionic instrument is merely a means of focusing that intent. But you, the practitioner, are essentially the healer, the person who's doing the work. And in my view, there's nothing magical about the box itself. Mm-hmm. If there is any magic, which there is, it's in you, the practitioner.
So the radionics associations in the United Kingdom, it's a well-established association. It started in 1943, I guess?
Yeah, something like that. It's the oldest in the world. Wow. That's right.
So there's a lot of expertise built up over the years.
Indeed.
Can anybody learn this? Or is it?
Yes, they can. Most people can douse. Some people say they can't douse, but they just don't want to douse. I've run dowsing courses before and people come along and I've never failed yet to get people dowsing. So everybody has the ability to douse. Whether they have the ability to heal is another matter. Most people have some ability to heal. But there are very good healers and not so good healers. And it's, to a certain extent, it's a gift you're born with, really. But training, like the Radionic Association gives training in these techniques, as do other organisations, to be fair, they're actually developing what in latent or inherent ability you have. And we have some very fine healers, and there are those who will develop so far and not get any further. It doesn't mean they can't help people. But like playing music, you know, it's... there are differences in ability, but the training will bring out and help develop your latent abilities. And also, one's got to remember that we're dealing with energies, if you like. We're dealing with something we don't understand. Some people say they know exactly what we're doing, but I think they're wrong. We're dealing with things we don't know about. We don't understand them. We know they're real in the fact that they affect people and can be altered, but we don't really know what's going on. I don't myself think there's anything to do with electromagnetic energy. I think it's far more subtle than that. So during the training course in radionics, or in any of these other therapies, if it comes to that, you're in a way indoctrinating the person into a worldview which rationalises the unknown, so that you can actually interact with it and deal with it in ways that you can understand and be confident about. It doesn't mean they're real in the fact that you might be using some device that's giving out some electromagnetic energies. It doesn't mean that these electromagnetic energies are actually achieving the end result. They just happen to be associated with the instruments you're using. I still believe that it's you, the practitioner, who's interacting with these unknown energies, which is resulting in the changes, either in the environment or in the patient, if you're treating a patient. So essentially all this training, and it can take several years in most cases, is actually just indoctrinating is perhaps a strong word, but essentially that's what it is, into a worldview whereby you can use and interact with the unknown.
So something like some people say, I first have to see before I believe, but this is also the other way around. Belief, and when you believe, you see, or you experience.
Yes.
What is happening there?
Yes, we know, most people come in because they know there's something going on. I mean, in my own field of earth energies, we know, it's been known for centuries, that there are some places in which people always get sick, and some places in which people always feel great. But nobody can understand what's going on. I mean, people have tried to explain it in many different ways, but it's quite easy to disprove what they, you know, their ideas. But we do know that these things exist, so we need a model, if you like. We need a model in order to both explain them and to, in our own way, and in order to interact with them and alter them if necessary. So it's just giving the brain something it can latch on to, really. Mm. Some people don't need it. I've come across some people who are just natural healers. They can just put the hands on somebody, and they don't even bother to explain it. It's just one of those things. But for most of us, especially if you've come from a scientific background, you want some. You're looking for explanations.
Exactly. And I can speak by experience now. Yesterday I joined you in a rebalancing session of a house, and this morning we did the same. And actually I felt things before and after, and there was a difference. I'm not trained in dowsing or radionics at all, but I have an open mind and yes, there was something. That brings me to the question, when you have a look back, when you were involved at the university in an academic environment, how was that? Were they not skeptic about this is a little bit off normal science? Because we have no instruments and we cannot measure it really, and we cannot prove it, but still it is there. How were they reacting, colleagues?
Oh, they were skeptics, but don't forget, I was working in a university, and in those days, fortunately for me, both the head of department and the head of the college, although they didn't understand, they didn't always approve of what I was doing, they believed in universities to be a free and open society, and there was no way they were going to stop me being involved in these things, provided, of course, I did my normal job as well. Mm-hmm. I remember the principal saying to me, called me in after we'd had a lot of publicity over some healing research I did in the papers and on television. He said, I don't understand all of this. He said, but I know you're a good scientist, and therefore I'm not going to stop you. I'll support you, in fact, he said. And it was, it's heartening to have that sort of attitude from one's bosses. I don't think it would necessarily work these days. But it did mean that I could get on and use my laboratory to study. Well, in this case, it was studying a healer in particular. Remarkable results we got. But yes, they were skeptics. But you've got a little bit of ribbing now and then. But there's nothing malicious, nothing unpleasant, and it never held me back in my career, my normal scientific career. So it was. It's nice to be in a situation like that, actually. As I say, nowadays, I'm not sure you'd be able to, but I was lucky.
Yeah, I hope that some people get inspired, because it's addressing people involved at the university campuses, facilities managers, real estate managers, but also the management board, that there is something out there. And I also agree with you that, in principle, it the university is about research and educating people about research results and how to research.
Yeah, how to research.
So, yes. By definition, it's unknown what you are researching. Otherwise, why should you research it? So having an open minded is, really.
Yes, I mean, fortunately,
should be a normal thing.
Yes, fortunately, in with this earth energy work I do, and you experienced it yesterday, I can in fact now use a person as a test subject to put them into the negative energy line and using muscle testing. Or in your case, you actually felt physical changes within your body when you were put into a line. And so one can demonstrate to most people that there's a real effect there. You can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. And so why not investigate it? Indeed. Why not investigate it? It's very difficult to investigate. This is why you start to build these models. But there's no reason why you can't investigate these things in a proper scientific way. I mean, I did this work in healing in the laboratory. We used, we were looking at healing, if you like, cress seeds that have been stressed with salt solution. And now salt solution will inhibit the germination of these seeds. And his job was to see whether he could speed the germination up of seeds which he'd healed compared to seeds that he'd held, the same seed, similar seeds which he'd held, but not given healing to. And we did this in a proper scientific way. It was a double-blind, randomized block design, proper. A gold standard scientific experiment. Unfortunately, we had the facilities like growth room and so on to do all this work. And we got some amazing results. And because they'd been done properly in a proper laboratory and university setting, we got it published in a peer-reviewed journal. And in fact, the editor of the journal said it was the best paper he'd seen on the subject, which was rather heartening. So it can be done, and we were fortunate enough to be able to do this work. Yeah,
you were talking about sending healing to people with the radionics philosophy, and that you can also even can do that on a distance.
Yes,
using your own ESP, your extra sensory perception.
That's right.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Good. Yes, the radionics and certainly radionics is distant healing. It's one form of distant healing, and it certainly does work at a distance. But how it works at a distance, of course, we're not sure. If you look at people use quantum physics to try and rationalize these things, although I'm not sure that's always a good idea. But certainly with the double. Double split experiment, non-local interactions, all that sort of thing. There is action, spooky action at the distance, I think Einstein called it. Mm. So where distance seems to be irrelevant to certain actions of the quantum level. And it certainly seems that certainly with radionics, that distance is no object. It's almost as if we're all connected together in some great sort of energetic sea, which is probably associated with a living Earth. I think a lot of us believe the Earth's got its own energy field, and we're just part of that. And we seem to be able to communicate through this field almost instantaneously. But more than that, it's very difficult to say. We just go by results that people do respond almost before the practitioners actually got down to work sometimes. Mm-hmm. It looks as if it's instantaneous. And as I say, distance doesn't seem to be any object.
Mm-hmm. You're yourself specialized in harmonizing and rebalancing space and spaces and places.
Yes.
That is interesting for our podcast, The E of Real Estate. Could you give us an example how that works?
Well, it's interesting. Balancing spaces, I suppose, traditionally one would think of feng shui and vastu in India, which is a technique devised many thousands of years ago just to try and find the most propitious place to bury one's ancestors. Nowadays, it's got involved in harmonizing houses and places and so on, and which most people will be familiar with. But in the West, one developed a different technique using dowsing to try and look at the energetic situation of a particular environment. And this is what we tend to do in the West more now, rather than feng shui, which actually is quite difficult and time-consuming. And it's developed, I think, frankly, to ridiculous lengths. yes, we use this technique of dowsing for imbalances in the energy fields within a house, and then I use my radionic box. I've devised a radionic box which actually acts as a focus for my intent to alter or try and correct the imbalances in these energy fields, which I find so would you want to go on from there?
When people ask you, ask you to come because they feel something is out of balance, or could be out of balance, or they have some issues.
People often ask me to come in. They perhaps are sick, or their business isn't doing very well, because the number of people going through the door has decreased. Or they just feel uncomfortable about the house, and they just got this feeling that there's something wrong with it. So I'm called along to many of these different situations. I mean, we did one yesterday and one today. The first house, people felt there was something uncomfortable in the workspaces they were working in. There was no illness there in this case, but they just felt uncomfortable. And so we went along, and I found that there was some negative energy spots over the both the work desks of both of the occupants of the house. And we could demonstrate this using muscle testing, kinesiology, and also René here could feel the differences. Yeah. You got goosebumps all over you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I used my box to put my intention to harmonize these energies, and afterwards the situation has improved. There was another place I did a number of years ago where the number of patients, it was a training establishment, a medical training establishment, the number of patients coming in to the building for the students to practice on had gone down and down and down. And the students and one or two of the staff called me in to see whether we could do anything about it, because obviously something was wrong. So I went in one Saturday morning, had a look at all the treatment rooms, treated it using a radionic box. Again, I emphasise this, you just have to focus for the intention to heal, in my view. And after that, much to our delight, the footfall through the door increased, and so the numbers of patients increased again, and all went back to normal. And what was quite interesting was that one of the secretaries, who knew nothing about this intervention, came into the building on the Monday morning, because I did it on a Saturday, on the Monday morning, and she just stopped and said, "It's funny, something's changed around here. Something's changed." So she could feel that the situation had changed. And sometimes, although not, I must admit, not very often, sometimes even while I'm in a place, you can feel the atmosphere lift. It's almost like you stand, it's just like a heavy weight just lifting off the out of the room. And I felt that several times. And if the person who asked me is particularly sensitive, like you were, for example, they can often feel something happening. A fizzing, a buzzing, or they can feel changes in themselves. But that doesn't happen that often, I have to say. But it does occasionally.
So when I understand correct, in most of your cases, you are called in to cure something.
Yes.
But you also use it as a prevention, or that you say, okay, I have now a new concept of how to educate people in a university environment. Could this these means of dowsing and an intent of sending energy and correcting energy improve the learning environment so that there are better learning results? Is that the possibility?
Well, it is indeed. I mean, one of the most dramatic interventions is by a German dowser. I think it's German, Austrian, Kathy Bachler, who used to treat classrooms for children. And if there were children doing particularly badly, she'd very often find the children were on a bad point, if you like, energetically, and she'd move the desks, and very often the performance would improve enormously. So yes, I think certainly one. I've not actually been asked to try and improve the environment as such. Where there's nothing obviously wrong. It's usually where there's some problem that I've gone in and tried to solve. But certainly one could go in and be proactive about these
something
things.
Something what is good, make it better.
Make it better, indeed, yeah. Indeed. Yeah. I have been asked to find out the best place to build a house, for example. This is the plot of land, or this is the area. Where should I put my house? So I've been asked to go along with dowsers to find the most energetically suitable place. And bearing in mind who's going to live there as well, because the people are always part of the place. So we've always got to remember that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because in my definition, the environment consists of three main parts. The first is the physical part, so the building and everything in and around it, and the location. We have this the digital part nowadays. So and because you have your digital workplace and all the interaction with digital information and all Wi-Fi around you. And the most important part is the third one is the social environment. So we as humans, we also have our etheric field.
Yes.
So when we come in a place, there is an interaction anyway. And that can be that you increase the level of the how we say the frequencies, but also to balance it out. So there's or even make it negative.
Negative, yes. Well, certainly in when I've treated houses in the past, in my experience, latterly, most of the problems have been due to the people who are living there or who've lived there in the past. It's some of the stresses from their lives have been imprinted on the place. And once I've cleared that, very often these places are absolutely fine. For years and years, I've been back to check, and they've been absolutely fine. When they do change, it's when somebody else comes in to that environment. Say another person comes in into the family group. Then, as you say, this suddenly alters the energetic balance. Sometimes it can be good, in which case I never hear about it. Mm-hmm. But very often it disturbs it in a negative way. And I have been called back to sort of just rebalance things when that's happened, and invariably it's when and somebody else has moved in and just altered the balance, because all the energetic frequencies are all mixing up together, and sometimes it has no effect at all. Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's bad, and that's when I get involved.
So, when I understood correctly what you were saying, there are two ways you can look at it, at least two ways, that like the German or the Austrian scientists did. Okay, the energy is there. It is not that good for the processes going on there. I just adjust the process. Instead you are working here, you are working over there, or change the desk position. That's one way. The other way is, now I try to influence that energy. And correct that. So leave everything on its place, just correct the energy. Is also a combination possible?
Yes, combination is possible. I mean, the smaller and smaller houses get, the more difficult it is to move furniture around and move people around. So it becomes ever more important to be able to actually intervene energetically rather than move stuff around. But where possible, I have combined both. I said, look, you've got room, why don't you just turn this bed around? I'll treat the place anyway, so I'll do both. Certainly there is, in Germany, there was a movement which did not believe you could alter the energies, which is why it was important for them that they move people out of the way of these energy lines or spots or whatever they found. Curiously, that idea was stronger in Germany than it is in Britain, and yet the German police were using devices to actually remove these negative energy lines, accident black spots, which would suggest that they thought you could do something about it. And funnily enough, a large number of the devices you can buy commercially, which are supposed to treat these negative energy lines, actually arose in Germany and Austria rather than over here. So although some of the most important practitioners didn't believe you could do it, a lot of other people did. Certainly over here, we do think we can change these lines. And in fact, if we couldn't, we'd be in a bit of a spot because, as we said earlier, there's a limit to what furniture movement you can make in modern houses, particularly. Yeah, but a combination of both. Sometimes I'll move things around. If you think something's out of position, we'll move it. Maybe a picture or a mirror or something like that.
So you could also say that there are places there's a natural energy hanging around,
yes,
from Earth or what,
that's
cosmos,
right,
or whatever.
Yes, yes.
There's an energy that we invoke ourselves by our equipment, and not the least, the energy of the people themselves. Actually,
absolutely,
as I understand, that's
absolutely
the most important one.
Yes.
So I can imagine then when you have to do a certain process like doing research, concentrate, or you have to work in a team, that spot is okay for activity A, but not for activity B. Without changing anything.
Is that possible? Yeah. Yes, oh, indeed it is. Yes, there are. I mean, sometimes I get asked to find good spots, positive spots, where people can recharge their batteries, if you like. I don't normally look for these. If somebody asks me, I'll go around the garden or the house trying to find somewhere where they can go and, you know, sit and meditate and charge themselves up. But you don't want to be living in one of these spots because you'd never sit still. Perhaps, you know, you'd be so effervescent and full of energy, you could never relax. So they're there really just to recharge yourself. The best places, the places that feel the best, feel the most comfortable, are those that are energetically, I was going to use the word dead, but it's not really dead, but quiet. Quiet
and balance.
And balance, because you can go into certain places. I remember going into Kipling's study at Bateman's. You know, the Rudyard Kipling lived in Bateman's in Sussex, and there's a study there. And walked through the door, and it was so peaceful. And I mentioned this to the lady who was the guide who was sitting there, and she said, "Yes, a lot of people say that. There's something about it. There's this aura of peace and quiet." And that's in those circumstances, you won't find anything when you go around with your dowsing rods. It's just
quiet.
Could that be that
area or that space is programmed, charged by the user?
It might be. It might well
so,
be.
Like it can be
it
also
well
negative. Somebody's murdered somewhere or raped. And
yes.
So that negative emotional energy is hanging around there. And other sensitive people sense that.
Yes.
But maybe the other way around is also possible.
Yes.
To charge it in a positive way.
Yes, it
could
be.
Like in a church, maybe.
Not all churches. There are some bits of churches which are very unpleasant, I have to say. Doused around churches. And it's not the assumption that they're just full of peace and beauty is not actually true energetically. But as somebody once said to me, if you do find a place like a very peaceful church, it's not a place where people, well, it applies so much nowadays because people don't go to church so much. But when they used to go to church and put all that positive energy in, the whole place could be buzzing. And it's not the sort of place you want to live. It's the place you go to just to recharge. So you've got, as I say, the best places, the places are, the peaceful ones are just energetically quiet, just quiet. And that's what one tries to do when I go into balance energies. You just try and quiet everything down, harmonize it, remove the negative energies. I don't look for positive, particularly these days, but I just look for negative energies and calm everything down. And it seems to work.
We could spend hours talking about this subject. I would like to ask two more questions. One is, somebody's listening now. I said, I never thought about that. This is really interesting. I would like to do something in my university environment because I'm in a position that I can do that. What would you advise? Where to start and what to do?
Well, I did something in my university. I ran a course. People got to know what I was interested in, and there was a course on landscape ecology and design, and I was asked to run a master's course. I was asked to run I think it's a 1.5 hour seminar course on which I called Spirit in Landscape, and I introduced a number of students to this whole concept, and so it fitted. It fitted in with an existing course, which was easier to do than trying to actually run a separate course on healing or dowsing. I mean, there are a number of universities which do run healing courses and complementary medicine courses. But certainly, if you could get interested in dowsing and balancing energies, one could certainly... Well, I was going to say, go around and try and balance up some of the classrooms and so on yourself. But the problem is, I mean, one really shouldn't go around treating places unless you've got permission to do so from the person who's responsible for them. I think you could end up in all... People have ended up in all sorts of trouble. Not everybody agrees with me on this, I have to say, but that's my view. If you get people interested and perhaps offer... to the administration or somebody in the admin whom you could trust and has got some responsibility for the place, you could certainly go around and say, look, I'd like this classroom or lecture theatre or lab just feels really bad sometimes. Would you mind if I went in and just see what I can do with the energies? And seeing you're not doing anything structural, they might well say, if you want to, just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, and actually, this is the right environment to do a test.
And if you get other students involved, you get students involved in it, and certainly do this muscle testing, which is making in and out of the lines, so the students could actually see that something's happening. Go for it, frankly. Have a go. Well, I say you've got nothing to lose. You might be mocked a bit by some of your colleagues, but if they see the results, then maybe you've got thick skin enough you couldn't care less, so just get in and get on with it. And get a few of your friends to come along and see what's going on. Because the more people who get involved and can see... I mean, I found a lot of interest. I mean, I ran this course, and people got to know also my healing research, and a lot of people were interested in it. Certainly the younger students coming along were more open to these things than the old guard, shall we say? So it's worth giving it a go. But you've got to find out how to do it first, and you need a bit of training for that. But I taught myself at the end of the day. So you can have a go.
Yeah, and there's enough literature about it.
Absolutely. More than enough literature. Yeah. That's right, yes. They can always start with the Horizons.
I can show this book. yes. Maybe you can say something about this, Horizons in Radionics.
Horizons in Radionics.
It was a special edition. Why was that so?
Yes.
It was Energy Medicine for the 21st Century. So that's very up to date.
Yes, it was a book I got. I was chairman of the Radionic Association at that time, and to celebrate our Golden Jubilee, I decided we'd have a book. I got various people to write chapters relevant to radionics, and we got it published. I published it, actually, in the end. And I've got several chapters in there, one of which is on earth energies and geopathic stress. And it was reviewed by... Said Jackson of the British Society of Dowsers, and he actually thought the chapter I wrote on geopathic stress was the best discussion of geopathic stress that he'd read. I mean, it's written as a scientist and it's sort of down to earth. So you could do worse than read that chapter, actually. Yeah,
I will add the title of the book and the ISBN number so they can order it.
It's still available.
If somebody is interested.
But that's got my chapter's got large numbers of references to it. And so it'll give you the opportunity of following up things if you want to follow them up. But it's certainly worth doing. And the university is a good place to start, actually, because the students are very often open to this sort of thing. That's what I found in my experience, more so than the academic staff who are somewhat older.
You have gathered a lot of personal experience, and as a scientist and scholar, you research everything, and you doubt it enough to be really sure that your experience is a real thing and backed up. Yeah. So, over time, did you develop a daily habit to be successful yourself, knowing all these things?
I have to admit, I didn't. Not really. Okay.
that's also an honest answer.
It's a strange thing because I found when I started dowsing, I mean, some people say you must practice. I found I didn't practice. I used it when it was necessary. And I just found that the ability just developed naturally over time without struggling. I've always had this motto, I mentioned it before, the harder you try, the less likely you are to succeed. So I just let these things develop, and develop they did. But I just go in and just do it, really. That's just me. But that won't suit everybody, I know.
Yeah, I would like to add something. We had several discussions together, and I read several books and articles from you. That I think there are two main things. They are normal to you, but I think for some of our listeners could be helpful. One is you have to have an open mind.
Absolutely.
So when you, we all know them, people who have closed mind, but very open mouth at the same time. And those are the people mainly who we see on television stealing the show. And there's another thing, is intent.
That's the key thing, yes.
Could you say something about those two things?
Yes, intent.
As a closing?
Yes, intent is the key. It's intent to heal. That's the key thing. I've been into houses where things have changed before I've done anything, because you go in with the intention to heal. There's one house I did a number of years ago, and it was a very successful treatment. Dowsing and treatment work wonders. In fact, the lady asked me back later to douse her son's house, so it must have worked well. But she said, as soon as she opened the door, it was like being hit in the chest with a sledgehammer. And the whole time I was there, she felt so uncomfortable. She wanted me to get out of the house. But what was happening there, I believe, was that I was going in with the intention to heal, and the energies were already, if you like, buzzing. And as soon as you walk into the situation, things start happening before you actually, you know, turn on your instruments and so on. So intent is the key. Intent is the key to all this healing. It's all intention. And whatever technique you use, you're harnessing that intention. If you use an instrument, that intention is then focused on the instrument as the intermediary between you and whatever it is you're doing. You can put the intention into the box and then you can leave it there. And it's like you've got a barrier between you and the problem. And what was the other thing that you were...
Open mind.
Open mind. Oh, yes, you've got to have an open mind. And that is very important. I remember when I first did my healing experiments with Jeff Boltwood, the healer, healing crest seeds. I had an open mind, but, you know, part of me didn't want it to work, really. I remember when the results at the end of the experiments came out of the computer, statistical analysis, and there was no doubt whatsoever that the effect was real. And then I was in a strange position, partly disappointment, and suddenly realizing, now you've got to make a decision. Do you believe it or not? Now, some people cut it off, put it to one side and never go back to it again. But you have to make a decision. And so I thought, well, this is real. I can't ignore it now. So one's whole outlook on life inevitably changes. And you really are open-minded then, but you've got to still be critical. The trouble is, too many people accept everything without actually examining it properly. But it was a strange feeling when you suddenly faced with the truth, which you don't necessarily want. It doesn't necessarily make life any easier. It makes it interesting, that's for sure. But you must have an open mind and accept these things when you see them. If you have a closed mind, then you probably won't be interested in them anyway. But no, an open mind is absolutely crucial.
Thank you so much, Tony. Right. I'm sure many of our listeners at least will be intrigued by what they heard today in this interview. And I guess some of them will say, okay, let's dive deeper into this. This sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Because the results are real.
The results are real.
Even without instruments, somebody open-minded and the right intention, you can experience it yourself. I did it, the two cases I was allowed to join you.
Yeah.
There's really something going on.
Absolutely.
So the challenge is now, okay, become aware and have the right intention yourself that something like this is possible. I think that will already give a great momentum to go further in this direction. So thank you again so much for your time and for your valuable insights and sharing.
Good.
All the
pleasure.
Best. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.